So this morning we'll have a public talk followed by a watchtower study. And the public talk is by Brother Gooding with the theme, The Origins of Humans, Does It Matter What You Believe? Brother Gooding.
Did God create man? According to a 2019 survey conducted by a research company right here in Canada, 22% of Canadians believe in God. 61% believe in the theory of evolution. And the rest? Well, they're unsure. Now, which one describes you? The majority believe in evolution, but quite frankly, does that make it correct, friends? What is the theory of evolution? Well, the theory of evolution comes in various forms. For example, if you look at the first one, which is natural selection. Natural selection is that the fittest living thing will survive. As these fit ones supposedly acquire new features that work to their advantage, they slowly evolve while other living things will become extinct. The second theory is mutations. Mutations are small accidental changes that accumulate over a long period of time as living things make copy of themselves, as we can see there. And third is punctuated equilibrium. These species will pretty much stay the same for a long period of time, but suddenly there'll be a giant leap forward in the species to evolve into something else. However, rather than defend God's word, many religious leaders accept the theory of evolution. Thank you for your picture. Ignore what's recorded for us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, where it clearly says how we got here and why you and I as humans are different from animals. In fact, friends, let's read that scripture and see what it says there in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, "And God went on to create man in his image. In God's image he created him, male and female he created them." So the Bible teaches us that we were created, and most importantly, we were made in his image. From the outset, we have been able to reflect the Creator's attributes. Unlike animals, Adam, he was a son of God. You see, evolution contradicts the Bible's account of creation and man's fall into sin. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, Jesus plainly said, "The one who created them from the beginning made them male and female." Evolution equates humans with animals. Quite frankly, it affects the way people think about themselves, change humans' attitude, and has encouraged animalistic behavior. For example, God's word, the Bible, plainly condemns sexual immorality. It encourages faithfulness between a husband and a wife. However, evolution is used as a reason to justify humans' behavior on the premise that the whole purpose in life is to make babies in life. The book The Moral Animal says, I quote, "Natural selection wants men to have sex with an endless series of women. Immorality for women is also seen as natural." For friends, this behavior, what does it lead to? It doesn't lead to happiness. Rather, it leads to sadness, doesn't it, friends? In fact, what are some of the behaviors we see because of this today? Broken families, abortions, disease, mental and emotional trauma, jealousy, and sadly, even family violence. But then, what position should a true Christian take? Let's have the scriptures answer this for us, friends. This time in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Let's read that together. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, it says there, "Look out that no one takes you captive by means of the philosophy and empty deceptions according to human tradition, according to the elementary things of the world, and not according to the Christ." So as the scripture says here, we must watch out for that we're not taken captive and fall prey to empty deceptions. Human philosophy was proving to be a danger for the congregation in Colossae back then. They wanted people to follow them, and it's the same today. So we see that evolution, in reality, doesn't satisfy man's search for the meaning of life. Just think about it. If evolution makes us fitter for survival, why give in to spirituality? From where does the inward awareness come? From God. According to evolutions, you and I, we're just simply accidental groupings of nucleic acids and proteins. Why would these molecules develop love for beauty, turn religious, and then contemplate eternity? Just think about it, friends. Would you be happy to go through life simply by eating, sleeping, and making babies? When we think about that, this works fine for animals. But don't you agree? Us as humans, we need more. Edward O. Wilson noted, I quote, "The predisposition to religious belief is the most complex and powerful force in the human mind, and in all probability, an irreducible part of human nature." End quote. Interesting, isn't it? He also mentions, what are the functions of humor and laughter? Why do people make deathbed confessions? What is the exact function of grief? And now that a person is gone, how does grieving serve the genes? Interesting, isn't it? Morality and conscience remain a puzzle for evolutionists. From what sources of moral value found in virtue all areas come from? If there's no source of morality, no creator, did right and wrong just simply originate with people? For example, most groups consider murder to be wrong. But if we look at our next pictures, when an animal kills another animal, do they have court trials? Do they condemn the guilty animal to death or even prison, as we see here? So we can see, friends, obviously, there's some sense of morality that underlines humanity, which is reflected in our own law. But then the question is, what is the source of this standard of morality? Thank you for our picture. Let's find the answer this time in Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Romans 2, 14 and 15 says, "For when people of the nations who do not have law do by nature the things of the law, these people, although not having law, are like a law to themselves. They are the very ones who demonstrate the matter of the law to be written in their hearts, while their conscience is bearing witness with them, and by their own thoughts, they are being accused or even excused." Humans do by nature the things of the law. Animals do not do this. This shows that as humans, we were created by an intelligent creator who also has moral values. You see, Jehovah placed the faculty of conscience or ethical sense in humans because, as we read earlier in the scripture, we were made in his image. Humans are profoundly distressed by death, isn't it, friends? Just think about it. If death was natural to us as humans, why do we find death so hard to accept? But again, friends, the scripture gives us the answer this time in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and 11. Let's read that together. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has even put eternity in their hearts. Yet mankind will never find out the work that the true God has made from start to finish." So the scripture makes it clear. We were not designed to die, rather to live. The Creator programmed the human mind with the desire for eternal life. And death raises a conflict for humans, doesn't it? And because of this, what do humans have? What kind of beliefs do we see today common in society? Well, there's the doctrine of the immortality of the soul. And of course, there's the belief in reincarnation, which is very common today. But how do evolutionists explain the mystery of death logically? Well, they simply dismiss it. They dismiss the desire for everlasting life as an evolutionary trick or deception. Why is that? Because it clashes with their view that humans are simply higher than animals. Darwin, who you might have heard of, predicted that the human family will tend to progress towards perfection. When we think about it, friends, how has this prediction turned out? Don't you agree it turned out to be false? In fact, humanity has experienced racial and national divisions on an unprecedented scale, right? In fact, more than 100 million people alone were killed in the 20th century. And 50 million of those were from World War II alone. So when we think about it, rather than moving forward, what's the human family doing? We're moving backwards, isn't it, friends? And that's especially since 1914, because since then, things have gotten even way worse. However, the Bible, it does recognize that humans have one thing in common with animals. Both humans and animals are souls. Because only us as humans, though, were created in God's image. That's why as humans, we have the ability to reflect the Creator's attributes, justice, wisdom, peace, mercy, and so forth. But out of all the Creator's qualities, there is one that's dominant over all of them. Have you guessed what that is, friends? But let's find the answer for us this time in 1 John chapter 4 and 8. First John chapter 4 and 8 says, whoever does not love has not come to know God, because God is love. Humans thrive on love, friends, which is Jehovah's, the Creator, predominant quality. An anthropologist who studies humans' behavior mentioned the following about love. Love stands at the center of all human needs, just as our sun stands at the center of our solar system. The child who has not been loved is biochemically and psychologically very different from the one who has been loved. The former even grows different than the latter. So basically what this person's saying is that the child that's been loved, their makeup is totally different from the child that has not been loved. Another interesting fact, isn't it? Another characteristic that makes us different from animals is found this time in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. Let's read that together. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. It says there, happy are those conscious of their spiritual need, since the kingdom of heavens belongs to them. Happy. As humans, we have a spiritual need. Unlike animals, we have the innate need to understand the meaning, but also purpose in life. Only Jehovah God can fulfill that need for us, that spiritual need. And we can do so by taking an active interest in His Word, the Bible, and studying it and applying it in our day-to-day lives. As humans, we desire to live forever because, as we read earlier, that the Creator has put eternity into mankind's heart. And because of this, friends, when we think of our marvelous body, it's been created in such a marvelous way. For example, the human brain, if we look at our next picture, only weighs about 3 pounds. Amazing, isn't it? Only 3 pounds, the adult brain. However, it contains 100 billion brain cells called neurons, which no two are exactly alike. Each cell can communicate with up to 200,000 neurons in the brain. This makes the circuits and pathways in the brain as astronomical, friends. Impressive, isn't it? In fact, you might have even heard people say that the brain is compared to a supercomputer. So when we think of these staggering facts, what does it do? Well, it challenges the theory of evolution. I mean, just think about it. Why would evolution create such a marvelous organ? For even today's highly educated, they recognize that the brain has the potential to serve millions of years, because the human brain was designed to learn forever. And as humans, we were designed to live forever. Beautiful, isn't it, friends? Thank you for our picture. However, humans originally were created perfect. But again, how do we know that? Let's have the scriptures answer that for us this time in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4 says, "The rock perfect is his activity, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness who is never unjust, righteous and upright is he." God's word shows that our first parents were sinless with the eternal prospect, but he also gave them a unique gift, which is called free will. They misused this precious gift and rebelled, and the result? Sin. So that's how an undesirable trait infected us, not some evolutionary remnant. You see, sin has produced a harmful effect to our genes as humans. In fact, notice how the scripture mentions this in verse 5. The same chapter of Deuteronomy 32 and verse 5. And we'll have our next picture up. It says, "They are the ones who have acted corruptedly. They are not his children. The defect is their own. They are a crooked and twisted generation." So we see that God dignified humans with free will. And if we look at our picture, we see that Adam and Eve, what did they do? They made a bad choice. And at that point, they became imperfect. And we inherited the tendency of sin and death from them. Again, it wasn't some animal gene that produced these undesirable traits because of their actions, their decision. In fact, notice what the King of Solomon mentioned in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 29 about this. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 29. "This alone I have found, the true God made mankind upright, but they have sought out many schemes." Adam and Eve were created upright, and they were told the course that would mean life. But as the scripture said, they sought out another plan. They acted ruinously on their own at that point, became defective. Thank you for our picture. You see, friends, to illustrate, it's like a patient who ignores a doctor's instructions. He says, "Well, if you want to live a long life and healthy life, I expect you to do these things. You have to eat healthy. You have to exercise 4 or 5 times a week. You have to ensure your sleep. And most importantly, you have to take your medication." The doctor informing you of this shows his compassion and his love and his consideration. But if the individual doesn't decide to do the instructions that the doctor gave him, well, whose fault is that, friends? It's not the doctor, right? In fact, it was compassionate. He took the time to explain to you why you should take your medication, because quite frankly, it means your health and most importantly, your life. Which is similar today, friends. The inspired scripture shows that Jehovah God created the first human pair perfect with the prospect of living forever. In fact, this was a provision of God's love for them. But when mankind refused to follow the instructions, well, as we know, Adam and Eve, they suffered the consequences. But that did not mean that a loving God did not exist. In fact, Jehovah even went to the extent of warning them ahead of time what would happen if they disobeyed. And now because of that, we suffer sickness, suffering, and death. In Romans chapter 7, 21 to 23, the Bible refers humans now being under sin's law. It's like having a bad alignment. You know when you're driving your car? If you ever had a bad alignment, you're turning your wheel to the right slightly, but it's kind of hard to keep the car going straight, right? Well, that's what our imperfection does. until that imperfection or that bad alignment is adjusted or perfected, so to speak. Well, that's what sin does to us. No matter how hard we try as humans, because of our imperfection, imperfect nature, we sin. And because of this, friends, Satan, the devil, has taken advantage of our sinful nature, especially during these last days. I mean, when you watch the news, you see some humans, they do some horrific acts. You're like, wow, how can you treat another human like this? But we see that they've become enslaved to sin, allowing the devil to freely influence them. Evolution justifies many of these horrific acts. But as servants of Jehovah, we're not enslaved to sin because we have God's Spirit and His Word, the Bible, to guide us and to mold us so we can be protected. And in fact, we can conquer the devil's influence with Jehovah's Spirit. But how does that compare to what imperfect humans and scientists offer? Well, according to evolution, chance rules. It's like taking a dice. You know, you throw your dice, you don't know what it's going to land on. A one, a six, a three. That's chance. That's no way to live life, right? Nobody likes to live their life that way. So we see evolution justifies animalistic behavior, and it results in personal and national atrocities. In fact, evolution clashes with our God-given conscience. And we have to be careful because it is a harmful teaching. Only applying the helpful teachings in God's Word, the Bible, as we read earlier, can truly make us happy. But friends, despite all that, the Bible shows that the Creator, Jehovah God, He never gave up on the human family. How do we notice? Notice what it says in Psalms 37 and 11. It says there, but the meek will possess the earth, and they will find exquisite delight in the abundance of peace. Can we have our next picture, please? Just think of it, friends. There'll be no more fear of calamity. You'll be able to walk on the streets in the evening. Your sister, you don't have to worry about being mugged, right? You'll be able to leave your doors unlocked. There'll be no need for policemen, jails, handcuffs, safes, so on and so forth. What do we see there? A young girl and her mother. They're afraid for their own safety. And we know that in many parts of the world, lots of people feel this way. They lock their doors. But imagine in God's new world, the only deterrent to crime will be love for your fellow man and genuine concern for each other. Friends, there's more. There's more that the Creator promises us. Only Jehovah God offers hope for everlasting life right here on paradise earth. He'll be able to remove sin like a skilled doctor is able to remove an illness. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8, and then we'll have our next picture, please. Isaiah 25 verse 8 says, He will swallow up death forever, and the sovereign Lord Jehovah will wipe away their tears from all faces. The reproach of His people He will take away from all the earth, for Jehovah Himself has spoken it. What a wonderful choice of words, isn't it, friends? Swallow up. When we have our meal and we swallow up our food off our plate, what happens to it? It's gone. It disappears, doesn't it? Well, Jehovah will do the same thing with the effects of death and the suffering that we face today. But the prophecy also says the sovereign Lord Jehovah will certainly wipe away the tears from all their faces. So friends, any sadness that you're feeling right now, perhaps you've loved a dear husband, a dear wife, or maybe even a child or a close friend, think about how you'll feel when you welcome them back in God's new world. Do you see yourself there, friends, welcoming your loved ones with open arms? Isn't that beautiful? So we see, friends, that some evolutionary improvement cannot accomplish this. But then what will? Let the scripture answer this for us, this time in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28 says, just as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, and to give his life as a ransom in exchange for many. So if this is your first meeting of Jehovah's Witnesses, well, we encourage you to ask them about the ransom arrangement. They'll be happy to give you more information. But the main reason Jesus came to earth was to offer a perfect life, as the scripture says, a ransom that repentant humans can enjoy a close relationship with their creator, Jehovah. You see, friends, only Jehovah God can provide what we see here in the picture. Everlasting life right here on paradise earth. In fact, there's a beautiful symbolism found in Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. And thank you for our picture. So Revelation 22, verse 1 and 2. It describes accomplishments as a healing for the nations, this verse here. It says, as he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, flowing out from the throne of God and to the Lamb, down in the middle of its main street. On both sides of the river were trees of life producing 12 crops of fruit, yielding their fruit each month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of a nation. So we see here that under God's kingdom rule, faithful humans will be relieved from the effect of sin, and they'll have a perfect mind and perfect body. We have a final picture, please. Soon we'll be brought in harmony with each other and with God's righteous standard. And eventually, all humans on earth will be adopted as earthly sons of our creator, Jehovah. So just like a loving child imitates their father, we will be able to perfectly imitate our creator, Jehovah. So if you see yourself there, friend, in the near future, young ones, do you see yourselves there? Maybe you're learning an instrument or playing with the animals. What does everyone look like there? Smiley, happy, vigorous, in good health. Brothers and sisters, put yourself in the path of life now by taking accurate knowledge in God's word, the Bible. We can gain friendship with God now and in forever. And in the near future, we'll find exquisite delight in God's new world to come.
Thank you, Brother Gooding, for showing us how important it is to know where we come from, how Jehovah has created us, and the positive hope for the future we have.